It's time to clean up your lifestyle. I'm Rob Schultz, and this is Fit Project Radio, and today I'm going to walk you through our Golden Habits Challenge. Let's start with habits. Everybody knows how to eat. If you don't, I could probably point you to a good book. There's more books about diet and nutrition than there's ever been before. There's more than you could possibly read in a lifetime, even if you wanted to. Now, everybody knows they should exercise, but we all know that we are a sedentary society that probably moves less than our parents, and we move less than our grandparents did, and we sit all day in a chair and stare at our phones at night all night on the couch, and we know that we need to move more. And likewise, you could find free resources online for workouts that you could do forever. In fact, you could go to CrossFit.com or YouTube and click on a workout and just follow that plan over and over and over. And every year you repeat it once and you would get really, really fit. The problem is that nobody does it. And the reality is that it's not that we lack knowledge, it's that we lack habits. Movement, eating well, needs to become so ingrained in our day-to-day that it's automatic. So what we hope to do with this challenge is for 30 days, just work on building those habits. You'll not establish a habit that you'll keep for the rest of your life in 30 days. In fact, the first 30 days, you probably won't be very good at that habit at all. Your first few reps, just like your first few reps of air squats or push-ups, are hard, right? It's practice. You're not fluent at it yet. You haven't built the skills. And the goal of these habits challenges is not to change your life forever. It's to help you create a habit that you can hopefully carry on your own for a while. Hopefully until the next challenge or, you know, whatever that is. When I stopped eating sugar a few months ago, I thought I was going to do it for 75 days to lose some body fat. But when I saw the difference in my mental clarity and my performance, I said, why would I go back to eating sugar? And you know now, when I do eat sugar, I feel kind of hungover, I'm tired the next day, I just want to eat a lot more sugar. And I realize most people feel this way all of the time. So it's very possible that these habits will give you a new perspective. You'll start a new habit that you'll want to continue forever. What I want to reassure you is that if you fall off the wagon after 30 days, all is not lost. You can wait until the next challenge and start again. Every time you do this, you'll get better at it. So let's go. So here's the challenge. I said that if you really want to change your life, you have to change your habits. You become the things that you ultimately do. So we want you to improve your life by adopting those good things without you even having to think about it. But change is hard. There's nothing in our society that tells us that we need to walk every day, that we need to lift weights, or that we need to eat less sugar until it's almost too late and we're seeing the doctor and we have diabetes or we have a bad back from sitting in a slumped posture all day. So what we're going to do is we're going to build the habits together. So what that's going to do is build some urgency and some accountability by sharing our results and our progress every day. Because I'll tell you something, if nobody is watching me, I'm going to eat junk at night. And if nobody is tracking my progress, I might skip a workout today. The goal of the Habits Challenge is really simple for a reason. I want it to be doable. I want it to be challenging. Like, I want you to have to really think about it, because that initial 30-day period is when you start to train the habits. So that's going to be the hardest part. And I want you to have peer support. I want you to have incentive. I want you to have a reason to get through the hard times, because there's going to be some. You know, 3 to 4 days into giving up sugar, into giving up sugary sweets, you're going to want it pretty bad. And 6 or 7 days into moving every day, you might not feel like going for a walk if it's raining outside. But if there are people paying attention and supporting you and checking in on you and looking at your completed logs, you're going to do it. So we're going to use every trick we can to help you get this challenge going. Once the challenge is going, it'll get easier and easier. And hopefully you'll continue as many of these habits as you can for as long as you can. Here's the Golden Habits Challenge. For 30 days, you're going to have zero sweet treats, zero alcohol, 60 minutes of daily movement, and 250 words of daily journaling. I'm going to go through each one of these together and define what they mean step by step. But the biggest barrier to success here is going to be in your own head. So we're doing a couple of things. Number one, I'm putting a price tag on it. If this challenge is free, everybody will sign up and nobody will be successful. So the challenge costs something. The reason is that I need you to invest in yourself, and it has to be an amount that you can't just shrug off like, it's only $5, forget it, I give up. It has to be an amount that makes you think when you're about to get like the double cream latte at Macca's, it has to be just big enough to be scary. The second thing is we're going to give you a prize. So there's a price and a prize. The prize at the end of this is going to be the Golden Fit Project shirt. Now, you can't get this shirt off the rack. You can't buy it anywhere. You can't order it. You can't have it custom made. You can only earn it. And after this challenge is over, when you see somebody in the gym who's wearing the Golden Fit Project shirt, you know they've gutted through something, right? It's a mark of accomplishment. It's something to really be proud of. So you should give them a high five and congratulate them. So a price and a prize. That's the first reason to do it. Second is tracking. So we're going to record your success. I'm going to give you a printable sheet. It's a pen and ink thing. You just color in or tick the boxes as you do them. You put it on your fridge so you can see it every single day. And finally, I'm going to give you support. So everybody is going to be doing this challenge together, starting on the same day. Everybody's going to listen. If you say, "Oh my God, this is hard," everybody's going to help. So if you say, "What do I substitute this for? How do I avoid the snack cupboard in the office kitchen?" Everybody's going to be chipping in there. We've got a coach assigned to this, so a coach will be giving you daily tips, but it really comes down to the support. You will know what you need, and when you know that you need help, you should reach out for it. There's going to be a caring community behind you to help you get through the tough times, and by the end of the month, the tough times will mostly be over, and it will be up to you to decide whether you want to continue the habit or not. So let's go through them one by one. The Golden Habits Challenge is for 30 days, zero sweet treats, zero alcohol, 60 minutes of daily movement, and 250 words of journaling. You can do the journaling at the beginning or the end of the day. I'll come to that. Let's start with sweet treats. The number one reason that our society is obese is not lack of movement, it's overconsumption, specifically of sugar. Now, I can't tell you to go out there and count your calories every day because that adds a lot of complexity to a challenge and you'll fail for the wrong reasons. The reason that people fail on complicated diets is not because the diet itself is hard, it's the tracking, it's the extra apps. Maybe it's the math, it's like the weighing of the food and the estimating. We're removing complexity here and saying zero sweet treats. Now, that doesn't mean zero sugar because let's face it, there's sugar in everything. But if something is primarily a sugar product, aka a sweet treat, avoid that. So don't eat dessert. Avoid sugar wherever you can. If somebody offers you a cookie, say, "No, thank you. I'm doing the Golden Habits Challenge this month. Come back to me next month." If somebody says, like, "Oh, look at that leftover birthday cake or whatever. Look at this pie that we're having dessert," just say, "No, thank you. I'm on a 30-day challenge." Avoid sweet treats. The worst sweet treat there is soft drink. So you got to get off that stuff. I mean, the fructose component tricks your metabolism and makes you feel like you're still hungry, and so you keep consuming it. Meanwhile, it's not even broken down for energy. Effectively, it just goes straight to storage. So you're making yourself worse at double speed. For the point of this challenge, it's zero sweet treats. For example, you might be having a sandwich and you find out, "Oh man, there's actually a lot of sugar in this salad dressing." And so you have to think about, like, do I get the salad or what dressing do I get? And again, we're removing complexity here. If there's sugar in orange juice or sugar in a banana, fine, those are not sweet treats. You as an adult knows what a sweet treat is. Don't have them. If you try and justify it, then it's a sweet treat and don't have it. Second is alcohol, zero alcohol. The primary sugar in alcohol is fructose, and so what happens when you drink is that not only do you not burn off the carbohydrates and the sugars that are in the alcohol, but they go straight to being fat storage. So you're not burning them off right away and you're not burning them off later. The other thing that alcohol contributes to is a bunch of different gut syndrome problems. And so when you look around and you see people whose gut is like hanging over their belt, there's usually an alcohol problem, probably a sugar and an alcohol problem. But quite often, what you'll see is people who have a beer belly, a big belly that sticks out beyond their chest, beyond their belt. They don't look really soft, they've just got this big belly sticking out, and that's usually alcohol consumption. When you see fat folding, like kind of in soft ripples, that's usually a sugar issue. But either way, we're going to avoid both for a month, and it doesn't do any good to try and change types of alcohol. Like, I'm going to go to vodka, I'm not going to drink beer anymore. It might help a little, but we're going to go off alcohol completely. Now, what a lot of people will find here is that they have to overcome more physical addiction than they thought. Like, oh boy, that glass of wine every night was more than just a habit. I'm having some mental kickback here, and that should be a sign that you need to do this. Another one might be any time I go out with friends, I'm drinking, and you don't realize that before. So hopefully, most people going through this challenge will not realize that they have an addiction, just that they have a social confusion around the consumption of alcohol. Like, I need alcohol to unwind, or if I'm going out with friends, I feel weird if I don't have alcohol. So the best way to not drink alcohol is just have a plan in advance. And I'm not saying, like, go buy a bunch of non-alcoholic beers. I'm saying get some flavored water in your house. You know, that's what I did. Have a plan when you go out to dinner at a restaurant. I'm going to have a sparkling water or something like that. But have a plan for another alternative to alcohol. On the sweet treats front, a lot of us tend to drink our calories, so that's why we said sweet treats instead of added sugar. You know, orange juice, it's not a sweet treat, but there's a lot of sugar in orange juice. Frappe, mocha latte, whatever at Macca's or OTR drive-through is a sweet treat. Don't have that. It's very, very easy to drink your calories, and that's why we're saying don't drink soft drink. Try not to drink sweet drinks like iced tea, which is just flavored soft drink. Find something else if you can. Okay, third, 60 minutes of movement daily. Now, I don't necessarily mean that you have to do high intensity interval training daily or run for an hour every day. I do want you to come to the gym as often as you can because we program for people to be able to come 6 days a week to the gym. But the reality is that even on a day when you're not scheduled to come to the gym, even on a day when you feel sore or tired, you can still go outside and walk. So your basic rule here should be that if you're not doing your 60 minutes of movement at a gym, you should just try and do it outside if you can. But if you can't, that's okay too. Do a stationary bike instead. It doesn't have to be hard, intense exercise. You're not doing a workout every day, but you're moving for 60 minutes a day. On the days when I'm not scheduled to work out, and I do periodize my week so that I can work out 6 days a week, but when I'm not intensely hard, and when I'm not going intensely hard every day, and that's the way we program the gym too. On the other days, though, like on Wednesday, I have a 30-minute walk in the morning with my dog and a 30-minute walk at lunchtime. In this way, the pets kind of solve the problem for you. Just walk a little longer than you normally would, accumulate 60 total minutes of movement. And if that's what happens 3 or 4 days a week, okay. And if that happens 1 day a week, okay. You should just have some intense exercise in there. But again, you can do 60, 30 minutes hard in the morning and 30 minutes hard at night. It doesn't matter. And finally, 250 words of journaling. The reason I'm having you do this is I want you to diarize your process. I want you to write down how you're feeling as you go through this. And there's two times that journaling really works best. The first is the second you get up in the morning. So you wake up, you roll out of bed, and if you need to make a coffee, go ahead. If you need to use the toilet, go ahead. And then sit down and write 250 words. 250 words is about one side of one page. And what you're doing is you're just writing down how you feel. Oh boy, I gave up sugar 2 days ago. I feel really, really tired, kind of hungover, very tempted to go have a high carb breakfast, something like that. Or at the end of the day, you can look back on the day and reflect, well, it was really challenging to get my workout in today, but I went for a 30-minute walk instead of watching maths, and I did another 30-minute walk at lunchtime instead of sitting at my desk and flicking on Instagram. I invited a friend to go with me so I could check that off. And especially on the days when you can't check something off the list, like, oh man, I screwed up, I had a muffin for breakfast, and I know that muffin is just like cake, so journal that problem. How did you feel right before? How did you feel after? And what happens when you journalize? Journaling is that you are internalizing solutions. What I like to do, and I have this basic rule for life, is that I'm allowed to make just about any mistake once, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. I'll forgive myself, but I don't repeat those same mistakes. So if I am, you know, out with some friends, as I was last weekend, and I haven't had a beer in a couple of months, but everybody's having this new craft beer and saying, oh, this is really good. Okay, I'll have a beer, but I won't repeat that. I'm not going to go have two beers. I'm not going to say, well, I've started drinking now. I'm going nuts. Just because I know what will happen is this cascading effect. And I won't have a beer the next day, and I'll get right back to that habit as quickly as I can. Journalizing helps you internalize the lessons and make the habit stick. But more than anything else, what journaling does is it clears the thoughts from your brain, all the doubts, all the garbage, all the junk about your self-worth, about your anger, how you're feeling about other people, jealousy vented on the page. I mean, if you're a good typist, close your eyes and do it. Don't worry about your spelling. Don't worry about your put out there. Don't worry if it makes sense. Nobody will ever read this. Don't self-edit. Just keep writing. It's the same as writing a letter to yourself and then not mailing it. It has a strong effect on your psyche. A lot of people would say it's freeing. To me, writing is a form of meditation. Meditation is just sitting back and watching your thoughts flow through your head. That's all it is. And if you're writing, you can watch your thoughts exit your brain and show up on your screen. You can watch them leave your body. It's like a clearing a log jam. And it takes probably a couple of weeks to really start to feel it. But what will happen is you'll enter a flow state and you'll soon start to feel like this natural, and you'll start to feel really, really good, usually within about 2 weeks. If you're a really good typist, it might happen faster because, like every habit we're talking about here, there's a learning component that's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to learn in your first week what a sweet treat is and how to choose an alternative or plan. You're going to have to learn in your first 2 weeks how to say no to alcohol by having another plan or looking in the menu for other ideas. You're going to have to learn in your first week how to plan for 60 minutes of activity daily. I mean, if you come to the gym twice a week right now, you're going to have to figure out how to do your movements on the other days. But once you've learned it and once you've created a plan, it's just a matter of repeating that plan until it becomes a habit and then getting better and better at those habits until they become a skill. Eventually, you become what you repeatedly do. You are a sum of your skills, and that means that the only way to change your life, change who you are, change how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your life, and feel better about the people around you, is to go through those changes. It's to do the practice reps. It's to keep doing them until they become a habit, and then to keep working on them and getting better at them until they become a skill. And when something becomes a skill, you become that skill. You become a different person. I want to make that simple for you. I can't make it easy for you, but I can surround you with an incentive by charging for it. I can give you a prize if you complete it, and I can surround you with everything else you need to be successful. Now, I've got a couple of questions that usually come up when we do a habits challenge. So, what results should I see? By the end of this, you're probably going to lose a kilo or two. You'll definitely feel a lot sharper and probably a lot happier and better about your life, and you're going to gain resilience. You'll have made it through something that's pretty tough. It's harder than it looks, but most importantly, you'll have a running start and a real habit that you might keep forever. When I gave up alcohol to improve my performance in CrossFit, it felt like a big sacrifice to say no to beer all summer. And now I'm 4 kilos less fat. I've actually gained some muscle in that time, but I'm net 4 kilos down. My running is way faster, I'm way fitter, and I don't care about beer at all. So you don't have to commit to giving up alcohol or treats forever, but if you do it for 30 days, you'll have a running start. You'll be through the worst part, and then you can decide what to do next. Diets aren't sustainable, and that's why they never ever work. You start off with the best intentions, and then 25 days in, you're seeing some gains, you're bragging about it, and then the novelty wears off. You're 60 days in, you're still not enjoying yourself. Your resolution has basically become old news. Your willpower is starting to wear thin, and you ask yourself, am I really going to be able to do this for 20 years? And of course, the answer is no. It's more important to develop the habit than it is to follow a prescription or a diet. That's why diets don't work. Habits are sustainable forever. Now, what support will we get during this challenge? You're going to get daily tips and knowledge through a private Facebook group. You're also going to get support from a coach from Fit Project and the other gym participants. If you've got other questions, you can always email rob@fitproject.com and we'll answer them. I think you should sign up just for yourself. The reason that we're running this challenge is that we really want to extend the lifespan and health span of people in Adelaide. So no matter where you're starting from, whether you're an elite athlete or you're really down on yourself or you don't like yourself because of the way your body and brain are working or not working, a challenge is always a great way to get in some practice reps, to do the hard thing with the support of a group and with the support of a coach, with the accountability of a price and a prize. Get through the first hard reps together and then practice them until they become a habit on their own when things get easier. And that's why we do these challenges. I'm Rob Schultz. This is Fit Project Radio, and short-term challenges can be an amazing catalyst to a longer, happier life.